Well, welcome again, everyone. It's great to gather together and be able to sing freely, be able to read God's word freely. This is a year where actually many are celebrating 400-year anniversary of a translation of the Bible called the King James Version that helped many just be able to interact with this wonderful book, the Bible. Before then, it had often been only written in Latin and other languages that many people couldn't read. So we're amazingly privileged to have the Bible and be able to open it and read it. And that's one of the things we love to do when we gather together to worship and to come together on a Sunday. So if you've got a Bible, do open it. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. We've got plenty at the back. We're just going to be passing them around. And we're going to turn to right in the middle of the Bible, one of the songs that's in the Bible. The Bible has a whole book that's pretty much songs. It's called the Book of Songs. Psalms, and songs written in good times, songs written in tough times. And there's a verse in one of the Psalms, Psalm 18, verse 19. And if you don't have a Bible, just sort of indicate to one of those bringing it round. It's found on page 551 of those Bibles you're just being passed out now. And this is actually our verse for the year. We're going to keep coming back to this throughout the year at different points. We looked at it last week, and if you didn't get one of our verse for the year cards, it looks a bit like this. And you can pick up one of those as you leave. You can pin it up on your wall. It's just a great verse. And this is what it says, Psalm 18, verse 19. Should we read it just off the screen here together? And then we're going to turn actually in the Bible to it again. So let's just read this together. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The he there is God. The me is who was writing it at the time was King David, who wrote 3,000 years ago this amazing psalm. So if you turn to Psalm 18 in the Bible, page 551 in those books, we're just going to see some of what else he wrote as we lead up to this. Let me just start at the beginning, verse 1. He says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. And he then goes on in the next few verses to describe some of what he's been saved from, some of the problems he was having. And maybe even you've come here today and you've started this year aware of some problems and challenges that you also need help with. And as he describes those in just the next few verses, he then describes how God responded. God came and God helped him and God heard his cry from heaven. And in verse 16, we're going to pick it up again. And it speaks of how God reached down from on high. He took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Let's just pray that God would help us understand his word as we come together. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray in these few moments now as I just try and explain this wonderful verse that you would help us all understand it more. Father, we live in a world of great need. Thank you for that team from the church who right now are out in Ethiopia. Lord, pray you'd be with them as they seek to help children and parents and schools out there this week. God, bless them. Lord, we think of that country of Sudan right next door, that it's such a big day for Sudan as they have that referendum. Help them. May this be a peaceful transition, we pray. For Egypt, after all the turmoil of recent weeks and the bomb that was there at a church building, God, please be near those grieving. Bring peace, not resentment. And even for this news yesterday of those in Arizona who've been shot, Lord, pray for your comfort and your presence with family members, with those who are still critically ill. Lord, we live in a needy world. And even this morning, we bring our own need and we pray, God, that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we think about this wonderful psalm, I want to start by just telling you a little story that happened to me this week. It was actually on Thursday morning, and I think it's going to help us just unpack briefly what this psalm has to say to us. I was taking my youngest daughter, Amy, to nursery, and on the way back, I noticed that the fuel light was flashing on the car. And, of course, my first thought, like I imagine maybe for many, was thinking, oh, well, you know, if I leave it, maybe someone else will fill up the car with petrol, like my wife or someone like that, and, you know. And, you know, you can go quite a ways on the flashing light. And, you know, I thought, no, my wife's just about to go to Ethiopia. She doesn't need one more thing. So I thought, come on, David, fill up the car with petrol. So I go in. And, of course, as you pull in, you realize that fuel prices are just crazy. I mean, I suddenly realized, yeah, the VAT increase has happened. And it's like, I couldn't remember filling up costing me so much. So there I'm filling up the car, and it's going up, you know, 20, 30. I remember when it used to be £20 to fill up my car. Anyway, 30 pounds, 40, 49, 50. I couldn't believe it. And there was actually a label on the fuel pump that said, make sure you don't fill up more than you can afford. They've obviously had people who are kind of like, you know, filling up and then thinking, oh, no, I can't afford this now. And so I went in there thinking, 49, 50. Wow, don't know it's cost me that much to fill up my car before. So I go in to pay. And as I pay and I fill in my keypad number and I then get handed the receipt, I look at the receipt and I'm not really sort of, you know, you just do it. I then noticed that the receipt said £15, 1-5, in fact, 1502. And I thought, that's not my bill. And I said to the person at the checkout, I said, I think there's some mistake. This isn't my bill. And they said, oh, what car was it? And I said, it was that pump, number 6. And they said, oh, well, that already was paid for. I'm looking and thinking, wow, really? Well, who is this? And they said, oh, it must have been that car. It was just driving off. And boom, it's the Enterprise van rental car, you know, left and pulled out. And it's like, they've gone. So they paid for my, so whose is this bill? Well, that's their bill. Oh, no, mistake, boom, boom. And whatever, you know, and I'm thinking, well, can I pay the difference? You know, and they're saying, well, no, that'll mess up our system. And I said, well, you know, shall I just pay my, no, that's already paid for. And I'm thinking, well, you know, should I just pay? And they said, well, look, it's benefit for you. And I'm thinking, great, actually. You know, this first time I fill up after the VAT increase, it's about the cheapest tank of petrol I can ever remember having. And then, you know, I'm pulling out thinking, this is wonderful. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe I can find the driver. You know, there's an, and I'd left my number, by the way, my mobile number with the guys. And I thought, well, it was an Enterprise van, and there's an Enterprise rental place just over there. And I thought, well, let me just pull in and mention, you know. And so I pull in and I say, well, you know, this has happened. They look at me like, you know, what are you doing? And I say, well, you know, it wasn't one of your drivers, was it? No. Was it one of your cars? Actually, no. And I'm thinking, well, you know, and they say, well, if you want to, you can leave your number. So I leave my number again thinking, I'd like to pay this back. You know, it obviously seemed to be some, you know, accident or mix-up. And though I got the better bill, someone else got the worse bill. And so I'm driving off thinking, well, I hope maybe I get a chance, but also I hope maybe I don't, because actually this is great. Because when someone else pays for you, it's a good thing. Particularly when you first are thinking, no, this is quite pricey. And I want to just use that story to unpack this psalm a little bit, because in the psalm we see a problem. You see, David had a problem. He says in Psalm 18, we just saw it in verse 3, he says, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. He was surrounded. He was not, as we discover later, he was not in a spacious place. He was confined. He was oppressed. He was having difficulties. He was aware of kind of warning, flashing lights were saying, this situation is not good. Like when I was driving along the road and I saw my light flashing on my dashboard, and I thought, there's a problem. There's something that's not right. And in that moment, you have a choice. You can either ignore it or you can turn in. You can look for someone who might be able to help you out. And David, he knew, he saw he had a problem, and he thought, you know what? I need help. I need help. And so he turned to God for help. And you know, in life, if there's a problem, if there's something you face, like take number 65. If you look at it as it was in those original pictures and you think, well, you know, we're kind of used to it being run down and derelict, and the community now is probably used to it being run down and derelict. And after all, you know, we can still use it for storage and store some of our rubbish in it, which is what we used to do for many years. And you think, well, that's maybe good enough. If you just think of a problem as not really a problem, as kind of a, well, there's some things that are okay about this, then you will never do anything about that. If we always thought, well, it's fine just as it was, then we would have never sought help to change it. We never tried. But we didn't do that. We thought, you know what? It's rubbish. We need more space. And there was actually part of this longing to be in a bit more of a spacious place that was part of what drove it for our children, for our youth, as they were expanding. We just said, look, we need more space for the things that we do in the community. And one of the things I love as I go and walk around number 65 is just a sense of space. People are drawn, aren't they, to spacious places. Well, if buildings can be run down and in disrepair and have problems, what about people? What about communities? What about families? What about you and I? Can we be in a place where actually we've got problems? We don't feel in that spacious place. We feel trapped or broken or not as we were made and intended to be. Well, the answer we'd like to give is, no, we're fine. Is there a problem in my life or your life? Well, no, I'm fine. Can't you see my smile? Can't you see? I'm, dressed okay and I'm doing all right. Thank you very much. And in fact, in Kenya, where I grew up for many years, and I know that Mark, your son, did a trip out to Kenya recently. When you greet the kids in Kenya and you say hi to them, they sometimes just respond, fine. So you say hi, and they say fine, and it's like that's so part of how they've seen people greet one another, you know, how are you, fine, that there's almost a sense of, before you even say anything, they're fine, but scratch a little bit below the surface, whether in Kenya or here, and often there's a different reality. And we try in this church to be honest and real about life, and that though there are many things to celebrate and joys to be had, on today we're celebrating, but the reality is still that there are problems. There are challenges. There are things that are not right in my life, in your life, in our life. Things that are not right in this city, not as they should be. You know, we come, don't we, into the new year, and we're often aware of them. That's why we kind of have New Year's resolutions. We're aware that we maybe, you know, we eat too much, or we drink too much, or we watch too much rubbish, or we, you know, work too much, or we, you know, we kind of inhale too much rubbish, or we kind of, you know, we're speaking without really thinking too much. Or, and we kind of come into the new year and think, you know what, I've got to stop doing this. This is not right. And maybe with a bit of self-belief and a bit of kind of, yep, I can do this. We try in our own strength to change. Maybe you did that last year, and maybe you're doing it again this year, and maybe you remember last year didn't quite work as well as you'd hoped, and maybe this year you're finding the same. You know, it's hard to just change in our own strength. Often we need to actually ask and say we need help. But it's not just a problem that sometimes we feel trapped in bad habits. We actually sometimes get trapped in bad ways of thinking. There's fears that grip us. And in our nation at the moment, with the different economic challenges and cutbacks and some of the, you know, sort of threats and difficulties around the world, sometimes people are just faced with a lot of anxiety. Anxiety about the future, anxiety about the present, anxiety even that things in the past will be discovered. And some of the GPs and doctors in the church, they, you know, they say a lot of the people they see now, it's there's stress and anxiety is a big issue. In fact, I was just talking to Brian a moment before the service, and we were talking about some of the big debt problems and the financial issues that just can cause great stress and anxiety for people. Maybe this year you're aware of fears and anxieties as you come into 2011. The Bible also, you know, speaks of a problem, not just as we think about our future and we think about ourselves and what we do. It talks of a problem as we think about our future and our relationship with God. Because the reality is that there are problems there too. That although God has been plain about how we should live, that so often we've turned our back on him and gone our own way. And it's, I was just so struck at the builders finding that bit of the Ten Commandments, and I find as I look in the Bible or I read something like the Ten Commandments, they act like a flashing warning light on the dashboard of my car saying, you know what, David, it's not as good as you think it is, because the Bible says that I should love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. that I should love my neighbor as myself. That's the way God intended me to live. And I realized, hang on a minute, I don't always do that. And that's just not a small problem. I've broken God's law. I'm in a place where actually I don't just sometimes feel guilty for those things. I am guilty. There's a problem. There's a problem, and it often makes us feel hemmed in. Not free. And you know, part of the problem is that as we wrestle with those things, we think, well, where can I go for help? And will I be able to afford it? Will I be able to afford the changes that need to happen? Will I be able to afford the costs that might be involved? Am I willing even to acknowledge that I need help? Because that may, in fact, be humbling. Well, the amazing thing, as we see in Psalm 18, is that not just is there a problem, there's good news. There's good news. You know, in my story, as I came in, yes, it was costly, and yes, my tank was empty, as it were. As I came in, I discovered that someone had paid for me, that someone had already paid my bill. And as we come to the Bible, what we see is that God has already done something for us. He's paid for the rubbish in our lives. He's paid the price for the mistakes we've made, for the sin, for the rebellion against God. He, as it were, has come to rescue us. In fact, that's what Psalm 18 speaks of. It speaks of a God who, it says in verse 16, that he reached down. He took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me. He brought me out into a spacious place. God did all these things. He came to help you and I, though we didn't deserve it. He came. And the Bible, as you read it more, you discover that the way he came for David was in different situations he was in, but the way he came ultimately for mankind was in the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior, who came down into our world, who died on a cross, who was willing to pay for you and I so that we might be able to be set free. It's wonderful good news. You know, we're celebrating this morning that a building's finished, that it's been paid for. And praise God for those even here in this room, many of them who helped pay for all that. For people from some years back who helped pay for all that's gone on there. But you know, Jesus came, and on the cross, he paid for it all. And he said this in John 19:13. Jesus said, as he's there hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is done." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He died. Jesus came to rescue you and I, to do it for us, to do what we couldn't do. And he did it on the cross, and that's what we come and celebrate as we gather week after week, that Jesus Christ has done for us what we could never do. He's rescued us. He's pulled us out into a spacious place. He's freed us from that guilt, from those fears, from those things and habits we feel trapped in. He frees us wonderfully, is what Jesus done. If you would love to find out more about it, there's so much more I could say about it, then I encourage you to do the Alpha course. Alpha is a course that runs over a couple of months. Many in the country have done it. I think millions, in fact, now have done it. That's not just designed for folks who come regularly to church. It's mainly designed for those who were just interested in finding out more about who Jesus was, why he died, this good news of how he rescues us. And it starts on the 24th of January. And that's a flyer all about it there in your update. And also in your update, if you're interested in doing that, there's a place on the back of this welcome card where you can just say, I want to begin. I want to find out more. I want to do the Alpha course. And just after I finish speaking in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to pause and fill this out. So if that's you, if you think, you know, I want to find out more about that rescue, that what God has done on the cross and how that relates to me, how that's good news, then please do find out more. In fact, what you'll see is very different, really, from the story with me in the petrol station. You know, I paid a little bit, and the other guy paid a little bit more. Well, with God and his rescue on the cross, what God has paid for us is, I can never pay back. And in fact, I haven't paid a little for that. I haven't paid anything. And in fact, as I maybe think sometimes at times, I think maybe I like to pay back God for the wonderful things he's done to me. He's like, you can't pay back, David. I don't want you to pay me back. God has done it all, and he's done it amazingly. And he's paid not just a small amount, but an immense amount. It cost him sending his own son to die on a cross for us. That was how great was the work of God. And as that happens, he brings us out into this wonderful, spacious place. Freedom in God. Are you in a wide open space? Do you need something of that freedom? That freedom that enables you not to try and pay things back or do things for God to some that earn favor. The freedom that enables you actually to live a free life, to serve others, to join Jesus in what he does. That's what we talked about last week, that how as a church we want to be those who live free. And how we do that? By following Jesus. And how did Jesus do that? Well, by living for others. So this is exactly how it should be, that we join Jesus in having cost to us so that others would experience things for free. So that we pay for the building. Praise God for that opportunity to do that, so that others can experience life and freedom and things like that there. That is what we're called to. And in fact, as a church, in many ways, through our time and our treasure and our talent, we're a body together who believes in saying, yeah, I want to live free. I want to live for others. And if you want to think as you start this new year, you know what? I want to be part of that. I want to belong to something that's not just about living for me, but it's living the way that Christ lived, living for others, living free. Then again, I'd just on the back, you might want to just put belong. You know, maybe you already feel like you belong. And as this year starts, you want to afresh say, yep, I want to join a small group. I want to serve in part of the life of the church in some way. Well, please do just tick that on the back as well as we finish in a moment. But, you know, lastly, as we think about the cost and about how Jesus has paid it all. When I was at the petrol station and someone paid for me, I think it was an accident. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, you know, it's good news that they paid for me, but what would have been amazing is if it was one of those things where they kind of thought they wanted to be nice to the guy behind, and they said, I'll pay for his bill and mine, you know. And I would have really been beaming. And you know what not just good news, the amazing news is. The amazing news this morning, if you look back at Psalm 18, verse 19, is that God does this. He brings us out into a spacious place. He rescues us. Why? Because he delights in us. The God who we've been singing about loves every one of us here. He delights in us so much that he wants to rescue you. He wants to bring you into a spacious place, way better than number 65, wonderful though that is. He wants to help you today because he loves you and he loves me. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible that sums this up so simply. It simply says this, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The most wonderful gift, that spacious place forever. And so as I end this morning, I want to invite you to recognize your need as I recognize mine, to call out as David did in the psalm. He called out to God and asked for him to help you. Believe that he can. And in this moment now, as we pause, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to echo that in your heart at the beginning of this year and say, yes, I believe, God, you can help me. I ask for your help. Then please, now in this moment, echo this prayer with me. Let's bow our heads as we pray. God, I admit I need your help. I'm sorry for the times I've not lived as you wanted me to live. But thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to help me, to rescue me, to die for me. Thank you that what he did on the cross is finished. Paid for. Please, God, take away my sin. Please, God, bring me into a spacious place. And please, God, help me follow Jesus. Amen.